Drive Time Show on Toledo Sports Leader, 106.5 The Ticket.
Miguel swings it to fly ball, right field, way back and right. Garcia to the fence, looking up, and it's gone, a home run.
Wow.
Miguel Cabrera with a two-run shot to right, his 24th, his fifth home run in the last week. The Tigers hit it.
This 106.5 The Ticket Sports Exclusive is driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik Jr. at the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore.
Matthews got it, throws. He's got Golden Tate, who makes the catch. Inside the 15, inside the 10, and he's breaking away. He's into the end zone. Pack the bags. Start the plane. This game is over. Oh, baby, how big is that?
Get ready. It's now drive time.
Sweeping left side, 10-5. Touchdown, Curtis Samuel. And the Buckeyes win it in overtime. A game that they trailed by 10 points to give Ohio State a 30-27 victory over the University of Michigan.
Here's the host of Drive Time.
Gretzky's got a breakaway. He's in all alone. He shoots and scores. Curry blocked the shot. Sent Gretzky in. 3-0.
Mike Miller is out there watching.
On its way, here's Chris DeMarco to win it. He wins it. DeMarco, 15 feet, 4 inches, Center of the Cup, President's Cup to the United States.
All right, everybody, how are you? Another edition of Drive Time. We're at the mothership, the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore. Glad to have you on board, everybody. Here tonight at the Superstore, right back here tomorrow night at the Superstore, and we'll be at... of course, one of the satellite bar 145s reset in Rossford Friday for our weekend football preview. Got a great show lined up for you tonight. Dan Hasty, a Central Michigan University graduate, does the play-by-play in his third year for the West Michigan Whitecaps. Mudhens didn't make the playoffs. Tigers certainly aren't going to make the playoffs. But the low A minor pro team of the Detroit Tigers will make the playoffs. The Whitecaps, Mike Rabello, by the way, of Miguel Cabrera trade fame. He was the manager a year in the league. I've had a great year. Cam Gibson, who split time with Lakeland in the Florida State League, had a big year down there. But they have three of the top 10 prospects now in the Detroit Tigers organization. They start a best of three tonight in Dayton against the Dayton Dragons, back home to Grand Rapids for games 2 and 3. So, again, 5:15 tonight, Detroit Tigers talking about some of the prospects, a deleted and depleted team right now, but certainly a big night last night with 6 home runs. A lot of fun to watch last night, but it's going to be interesting over the next 2 or 3 years. Matt Markey will join us at 5:35 tonight, as we always do on Wednesday night, to talk outdoors. Toledo Blade outdoor editor and one of our favorite guests, by the way. Probably get more feedback about Matt Markey's appearances than just about anything. Serious conversations tonight. Asian carp is one of those. And the fish kill, 15,000 dead fish because of manure runoff from some of the farm fields in the area here. So not pleasant subjects. We bring you a lot of pleasant subjects when it comes to walleye fishing and other things. But Matt will join us at 5:35 tonight. Then Tony Cooper will join us tonight at about 5:45. She is the executive director of the River Raisin National Battlefield Park Foundation. A lot of things going on up here in the Monroe area. A lot of things going on in the Toledo area as well. Glad to have you on board, where the Labor Day clearance sales event continues here at the Superstore. Haven't had him on in a while. The Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik, joins us now on Drive Time, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. We're always honored to have the University of Michigan games carried by one of our cluster stations, of course, 98.3 Nash Icon, and they broadcast a Michigan victory in Dallas, Texas, over Florida. Florida, I'm not taking anything away from the Michigan win, 10 players out of the Florida lineup. But last night, Ralph, good to see you. Sean Windsor, who was at the game as well for the Free Press, he said, "I've been covering college football for a long time. I've never seen a defense close on players like Michigan's defense did in a game like that." So you saw a maize and blue team, mostly in maize, by the way, on Saturday with a pretty good win. Good to see you.
Good to see you, Michael. Yeah, it was a
It was a heck of a weekend in Dallas, buddy. I can promise you that in many, many ways, from the stadium to the game to the coverage of the tragedy in Houston and the way the people of Texas, a very prideful state, I may add, very prideful people down there in the Lone Star State, stepping up and helping each other out.
Yeah, no question about it. And now the folks in Florida, which I know you're familiar with as well, bracing for another one, just goes to prove nothing stronger than Mother Nature. And you're right. I thought it was in a tragic, tragic time for Houston and Corpus Christi and all up and down the coast, the way the folks, boy, some of the pictures out of there, heartbreaking at times. And I think I was sitting here in the Superstore last week when it started to rain. I had to retract a statement. I said, oh, it's starting to rain here in Northwest Ohio, Southeast. Hold on. Wait a minute. This isn't rain.
Right.
What they had in Houston was rain as well. You said kind of an interesting week as well for the folks at Texas. Texas got beat by Maryland. College football well underway. The first big weekend, really a weekend in the top 25. That Maryland win over Texas was one. Other ranked teams, Michigan, of course, beating number 17 at the time, Florida. But on Monday morning or Sunday or Tuesday morning, like we do, we look at the top 25. Not a lot of earth-shattering things, but you noted a couple of them.
Yeah, it was just, you know, being in Texas this weekend, and first of all, a great stadium, great hospitality by all the folks at AT&T Stadium. Great to see so many enthusiastic college football fans, and the Florida fans and the Michigan fans, everybody getting along good, you know, kind of teasing each other nicely. It was all very festive situation. Everybody was in a, you know, good mood. Obviously, lots of big plays for both teams. Obviously, Florida didn't have any big plays in the second half to speak of, but great situation. But anyway, we noticed that Texas, of course, lost to Maryland, which was an upset. Texas A&M was up 34 points and gave up 35 points to UCLA in little over a quarter. Got outscored 35 to nothing. That's a bad deal for Kevin Summerlin and that whole Texas A&M coaching staff, too. That is not good news for those guys. And then a Baylor lost to Liberty, right, in a huge upset. Not good for that and the flood. No, those are four pretty bad weekend for the state of Texas, right? Not to compare football to a flood, but I'm saying is at the same time, I've started a cheerleading group now, and I'd love to have all your 106.5 ticket listeners and you too, Michael. Now that Justin Verlander's in Houston, and with the flood in Houston and all the tragic things that have gone on there, let's all hop, since we can't cheer for the Tigers. I know we have Indians fans on this broadcast, too, and I can be an Indians fan, too, if the Tigers are gone away. But it says, let's all hop in the Houston Astros bandwagon. It would be, you know, we saw the Cavaliers win their championship a couple years ago. Wouldn't this be something if Houston went on all the way? They got the best record in the American League. They just picked up a bulldog of a pitcher with Justin Verlander. It'd be something if the Astros could go all the way and give that region of Texas something to cheer up for the next
couple
of
months. Question about it. You're not alone. That's been brought up in a number of circles. Let's get on the Houston band. I'm on. He won last night in Seattle, by the way, with six strong innings, and I think had 7, 8, 9 strikeouts. And he is going to be missed, but I'm also finding myself, you know, and this kind of leads to our next guest here coming up in a couple of minutes, about 5:15 or a little bit later, that Dan Hastie is going to tell us about some of the prospects they got. Al Avila was kind of chastised a little bit, not getting anything for J.D. Martinez. Of course, his hands were tied there a little bit because of J.D.'s last year on his deal. The other clubs, of course, know that. Avila and Wilson. Paredes will play tonight in Dayton as a shortstop. He's a top 15 prospect. You turned the tube on last night. The Tigers get 6 home runs. They look like the 1927 Yankees, for crying out loud. I just got a text from somebody who said, 2 minor league teams now in the Central Division, the Chicago White Sox and the Tigers. Chicago's turned the corner. They're about 2 years away from being dynamite. Their general manager, Ken Wilson's done a good job. They're going to get their rear ends pounded a lot, like I think Detroit is too. But listen, we've had a great run. You and I talked about this. 2006 to 2016, you know, competitive all the way into September. 2003, they lost 119 games. And in 2006, you're in the World Series. So for Tiger fans, look, it was a pretty good run. It's time to rebuild, and hats off to the Illiches. You can't hold on to a $200 million payroll forever.
Absolutely. Absolutely, you can't. So, you know, again, there's, you know, and for us around here, we can focus a little bit on the Pistons and the Red Wings as Little Caesars Arena opens up and all the enthusiasm can be going on over there. And so that'll be fun, too.
No, they had tours. I had one of our sister Cumulus stations, WJR, on today. I spent the day in Canada. Of course, you get all the Detroit radio stations over in Windsor. And they were talking about some of the events and the grand opening coming up. But tours, ticketed tours, happening yesterday and today. And nothing but rave reviews. And I know you're a guy that spent a lot of evenings at the old the Joe Louis Arena. I had some fond memories there myself and when I was with the Devils. So, but college football's upon us. Baseball winding down, postseason. Nobody hotter than the Indians right now. Houston pretty good. The Dodgers. Another game that I thought was intriguing. I'm trying to figure out who we had on talking football last week, but we started talking about the MAC matchups against some of the powerhouses. Mm-hmm. Western Michigan did a pretty nice job against Southern Cal.
Absolutely. Well, row the boat, buddy. May have moved on up to Minnesota, but there's still a bunch of guys with some oars that want to row the boat in Western Michigan University. You better hang on if you want to strap it on with the Broncos, buddy.
No doubt about it.
Excited about those guys. They went toe-to-toe with USC, who some people have voted as the number one ranked team in the country.
Right.
So, I mean, they got a lot of talent there at USC, and those guys went toe-to-toe to them for four quarters.
Well, Clemson and Penn State gave the MAC a little bit of a lesson, but that was one we did pick out. We thought might be a football game, and indeed it was. University of Toledo Rockets get off to a win. We had a great time last week, the night of the game at Ferdo's Restaurant, now one of our sponsors on the show as well. It's always great to see a MAC team competitive. I think the Rockets have a chance this year, like they did last year, to kind of make an appearance in that top 25, which always adds a ton of excitement.
Well, there's a lot of talent out there. Look what happened to UNLV this week. They got beat, but they were a 45-point favorite, and they got beat by Howard University out of Washington, D.C., 43-40. So there's just a lot of talented players out there with these spread offenses. You get a couple turnovers, anything can happen to anybody. And, again, these MAC teams have been showing us for a long time that they'll step up and bite anybody. Any one of these big boys.
Well, University of Toledo wins at Penn State. University of Toledo will win at Michigan. University of Toledo over number 7, Larry Fitzgerald in Pittsburgh not too long ago. By the way, my daughter was on the sideline cheering that night, which was a great night for us as well. Dan Hasty is standing by in the press box down in Dayton, and he's going to call a game tonight. As we mentioned, one of the Tiger teams have made it to the postseason. The West Michigan Whitecaps tonight at Fifth Third Ballpark, by the way, down in Dayton, and Fifth Third in West Michigan, Fifth Third in Toledo. So one of the Fifth Thirds and another one tomorrow night has postseason baseball. We're going to talk a little Tiger prospects and talk about the Tigers team that is in the postseason, the West Michigan Whitecaps. Did I miss anything?
Tony Cooper. Tune in to Tony Cooper in about a half hour. She's going to talk to you about the River Rays National Battlefield Park and the great event we got coming up September 16th. There we're giving away a Jeep. Raffle tickets are available. You can find the link on our Facebook page, our website, et cetera. $50 goes to educational programs to bring youth to the battlefield and give them a little education. They'll also be selling tickets for this Jeep raffle tickets at the University of Michigan game in Ann Arbor this Saturday as well.
16th of September. We've been talking about it all. Great stuff going on everywhere. Good seeing you, Ralph. Ralph Mahalik, the Low Payment King, joins us here in the showroom. Again, I want to remind everybody the Labor Day clearance event continues. Back with Dan Hasty, voice of the Whitecaps, after this.
Talking local sports, it's Drive Time on Toledo's sports leader, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Drive Time. Glad to have you on board. We're coming to you from the Superstore tonight, the Labor Day clearance sales event continues. Jory Maxwell making his way through the showroom. Hey, just a couple of notes here. As I mentioned, Tony Cooper is going to join us at 5:45 tonight. Also, Matt Markey coming up around about 5:35. Hey, coming soon, by the way, right here on ESPN 106.5, The Ticket, your chance to win $1,000 four times a day, the 4K a day, starting Thursday the 14th from Toledo's ESPN 106.5, The Ticket. Join ESPN 106.5, The Ticket, Tuesday, September the 12th, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. For the Hurricane Relief Drive. That'll be at Walt Churchill's Market at 26625 North Dixie Highway in Perrysburg. We'll be collecting items over again at Walt Churchill's. The folks at 106.5 will be involved as well. So another great cause for the people. We just talked about that with the low payment king, Ralph Mihalik, just a couple of moments. Just a note, back to the station. Jim, I just got a text from Dan Hasty from the press box in Dayton. And, again, he should be ready to go here in just a moment. And, again, joining us from Dayton, another fifth-third ballpark or another fifth-third field, this time down in Dayton, home of the Dayton Dragons, is the voice of the West Michigan Whitecaps. Dan Hasty joins us, who, by the way, his Central Michigan team won a football game over Rhode Island on Saturday. Hello, Dan. How are you?
That's right. Thanks for pointing that out. That was a big win in that triple overtime game. Very excited.
Good stuff. Hey, you got to be excited about this one tonight. I guess first things first, Dan, what a tremendous year for the Whitecaps. Regular season, they picked up 91 wins. They were 51-19 at home. The manager, Mike Ravello of Miguel Cabrera trade fame, he was manager of the year. So the first of three tonight at Dayton. But before we talk prospects and before we talk playoffs, tremendous, tremendous regular season.
Well, thank you. And, you know, the amazing thing really tucked into all this was the fact that this has been unlike many of the years in West Michigan where it's usually the same group of players doing everything and staying here from beginning to end. This year, very different. About 13 different players were promoted up to high A. And really, after the first half, you can make the argument that the Whitecaps team was really gutted. The Tigers wanted to focus on player development, as they should, and they moved guys up to the next level and really left the cupboard kind of bare in West Michigan. They won 45 games in the first half, and then they won 46 in the second half, playing well shorthanded, as I know with your hockey background, you certainly can attest to. So, you know, we look at this, and it has been really amazing to see what they've been able to accomplish.
Dan Hasty joins us from Dayton, by the way. Whitecaps back home tomorrow night for Game 2. And if a Game 3 is necessary, that will be on Friday night. Hey, the reason I got thinking of you, Dan, of course, we're a Detroit Lions-affiliated station, Ohio State. We have Michigan on our cluster, ESPN 106.5, The Ticket here in Toledo. Home of the Mud Hens, which is a great market, as you know, as well. We have their play-by-play guy on, Matt Melzak, quite a bit as well, talking about the Hens and the recalls to the Tigers. But after this recent trade with Houston, names like, number one, Das Cameron, son of Mike Cameron, longtime outfielder for Chicago, one of the top prospects now in the Tigers organization. Hats off to Al Avila. Stocked the cupboards a little bit, I think, in this last deal, Cameron being one of those guys.
You know, and really an exciting player. I mean, you see him, you watch him in the outfield, and we've only seen him now for three games. He's going to have one of the shortest Whitecaps careers among players that end up probably ending up in Detroit. But, you know, we'll always have a chance to say that he was ours, even if he ends up playing more playoff games than regular season games. But, yeah, you can see the talent. It's very clear. It's clear as day. This is an uber-talented kid. Needed a little while to figure out professional baseball, but really things clicked into gear for him this second half especially, and he became just off the charts when it came to his production. So really excited to see what kind of player that ends up here in West Michigan over the course of the postseason, which, as you mentioned, starts tonight. But Cameron's a player. Cameron's a guy that will probably be in. It almost kind of feels like in today's modern baseball game is that everyone's trying to load up on those top 100 prospects, right? Everyone likes to boast that the Tigers have five of them now. Well, Cameron is that number six. that is not currently in the top 100, but I wouldn't be surprised, give it about maybe a couple of months, that Cameron finds his way back at that conversation. Just another guy to help improve that Tigers farm system.
Again, Dan Hasty joins us here on Drive Time. His appearance presented by Vito's Pizza, ingredients that you can trust. Hey, for our listeners, Dan, tell me the biggest difference, what you've seen in your 3 years, between a low-A player and a high-A player. Now, of course, players that have gone from West Michigan to Lakeland.
Well, it depends on who you ask, but there's a lot of people that say that the jump to high-A is very difficult for a player in low-A. So, and anytime you see somebody successfully make that jump, they've got a pretty good shot to stick. And again, this depends on who you ask. Some people will say it's from low to high A. Some people say it's from high A to double A. But typically it's these levels of the minor leagues where it really is a lot more sink or swim than you think. Usually if you can handle it in the high A or especially in the double A level, you're going to end up going to the big leagues. It's a lot more translatable, if that makes sense. So, that's probably the biggest difference, but there's a lot of talent throughout high A, and, you know, to see guys in low A, somebody even compared it once to the Cape Cod League, which I thought was a bit of a stretch, but the principle behind it was that a lot of guys go to college and they dominate, and they come to low A, and they can still dominate, but they have to have a little something extra to make it up to the next level, and all those guys that the Whitecaps promoted that we were talking about a minute ago, the majority of those guys, if not all of them, continued to play very well into high A. Some of the guys ended up in double A, and even one ended up in triple A with the possible conversation of ending up in Detroit, Brian Garcia, who I'm sure you've seen a little bit.
We have seen another guy that made that jump, too, is Cam Gibson of hitting for the cycle fame.
Yeah, you know what? He is, and I honestly believe this, I think he's a major league player, and I think he is going to be beloved in Detroit, in just having watched, and there's been a lot of talented players in West Michigan over the course of this year. But in terms of being pro-ready, I always kind of felt that Cam Gibson was more pro-ready than any of the others. You know, his game is pro-style, if you will. Remember when Matt Stafford got drafted by the Lions and everyone said, well, he's in a pro-style offense? Well, Cam Gibson is in the same kind of pro-style with the way that he plays the game. He's just got a lot of skills that translate to the major leagues. When at low A, it's hard to see those on a consistent basis, but Cam showed those every single day, and, oh, yeah, it doesn't hurt. He's got the bloodlines in his favor as well.
A couple guys before we let you go here. We got about 2 minutes again. Dan Hasty joins us. This is ESPN 106.5 The Ticket, part of the Detroit Lions Radio Network, who we will have Sunday. Show driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik. We're coming to you from the showroom tonight. Shortstop Isaac Paredes and Matt Manning. You know what? I looked at Matt Manning's ERA today, inflated over 5. All the natural tools, can really throw it. Tell me about those two before we let you go.
Well, Paredes is interesting, and they compared him a little bit to Johnny Peralta when he first arrived with the Tigers organization, and you could really see it right away. Peralta's got an interesting game. So I'm you know, looking at Paredes, and you see a right-handed, stocky shortstop, probably will end up at third base before all is said and done. But when he first got to us, every single thing he hit was a line drive. And I think he hit 4 home runs in 5 days. And so he hit the ground running. He cooled off a bit as the season came to an end, but he's only 18 years old. And he had 70 runs batted in as an 18-year-old in a league where the average age is about 22, 23 years old. So he's playing well above his head. So Isaac did a nice job in 2017. Like what we saw from him. And then as far as Manning is concerned, this is a kid that has all the natural tools. When you see him pitch, he got roughed up a little bit his first couple of starts, and that was a little bit tough for him, but he's found a way. He's made adjustments. His last 11 innings on the mound, he's got 15 strikeouts and no runs allowed. He's been exceptional so far. So he's now been picked by Mike Ravello and the Whitecaps coaching staff to start game 3 between the Dayton Dragons and the Whitecaps if that series needs to go to it.
Good stuff. Hey, how many folks from the Tigers scouting department or player personnel department will be at the game tonight, would you guess?
Tonight? That's a good question. We do know that the Tigers general manager, Al Avila, as well as Dave Littlefield, will be in attendance come tomorrow. And from the grapevine, we also heard a couple former players are making the trip as well. Cam Gibson, Blaze Salter, a couple of guys who did a lot of damage in the first half with West Michigan, also scheduled to come out. It'll be kind of fun to see those two come into the game as fans, although I think if we could pencil him into the lineup, I think we'd go that avenue as well.
Dan, good stuff. Have a good call tonight. We're going to keep your coordinates here, and somewhere down the road we'll touch base again. Thanks for coming on.
You got it. All right. Thanks, Mike.
That's Dan Hasty, play-by-play voice out of Central Michigan with the West Michigan Whitecaps, talking a little baseball and some of the prospects the Tigers have received, of course, in the three deals they made, Arizona, Chicago, and Houston. TAS Electronics update, a little weather, a little sports right around the corner. Traffic as well, brought to you by SuperFitnessToledo.com. Matt Markey after this.
It's the Drive Time Show on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's your host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to Drive Time, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Toledo sports leader, Lions, Michigan, Ohio State, Major League Baseball, even had the NBA Finals on, a little bit of everything. Of course, the extravaganza with Bob France. And, of course, Drive Time driven by the low-payment king, Ralph Mahalik. Matt Markey joins us now. His appearance is always brought to you by Jan's Netcraft Fishing Tackle. Fishing's their passion. Expert advice is always free. Visit Netcraft on Briarfield Boulevard in Maumee for everything you need to fish for bass and whatever else that swims. Hello, Mr. Markey. How are you?
Hey, Mike. I'm doing fine. How are you?
Good. I just read your story this morning, Tuesday's story, yesterday's story, and the first question out of my wife's mouth at all times if we're going someplace is, are there bugs there? So I'm familiar with the verbiage. I'm also familiar with some of the creatures that you talked about and some of the things that might be able to help you when it comes to gear and other additives to your clothing and so on and so forth, like a no-fly zone and other things. But it is, and boy, you've traveled extensively with your dad and your family. It's just part of the ingredients of being outdoors.
It is. You know, a lot of the neatest places you want to go, that you know, that's going to be a companion. You know, some of the tropics, certainly the Amazon and places around the equator, you know, that I have on my bucket list to visit. You know, folks I've known that have gone there and fished or whatever. This, you know, the bugs, the insect life is just a whole another realm that you can't really, you know, you can't really expect or understand until you get there. And then it's just peculiar that on the flip side, you know, climate-wise, when you go into the reaches of the north and even into the Arctic, it'd be some of the worst mosquitoes that you'll encounter anywhere on the planet. So it's just part of life, and a lot of the neatest places you want to explore, you've got to deal with the insect life there. And fortunately, you know, we have more options now in dealing with them. And that was, you know, really something that I was glad to see, because I didn't do real well with repeated applications of DEET. And, you know, there were some trips we took, especially into northern Manitoba, where the scenery was incredible, the wildlife was phenomenal, the fishing was great, and so on, but the bugs were out of this world. And you had to either be fishing in a strong breeze, standing in the dense smoke from the campfire, or you had to be, you know, covered any exposed skin with DEET and just hope that that did the work. So I'm glad they've come out with you know, the clothing and the different things that are, you know, impregnated with this stuff, so you're not actually putting it on your skin. The material, you know, holds the repellents and so on. And, you know, permethrin is one of the best ones, because it's basically trying to duplicate something that comes from chrysanthemums and a natural insect repellent, if you will. And it's just easier on the flesh if it's in the material that you're wearing instead of on your skin. And the material also holds it a lot better, because we tend to sweat and have oil on our skin and so on, and eventually that stuff kind of wears off quickly. But I've tried a couple of these different clothing items and so on, and they've worked surprisingly well.
Matt Markey joins us, Toledo Blade Outdoor Editor here in Drive Time. He joins us on the Vito's Pizza phone line, Vito's Pizza, ingredients you can trust. Your story on Friday, Matt, boy, oh boy, heartbreaking. 15,000 fish in Beaver Creek. There's been other incidents as well, as manure runoff making its way into the stream, ammonia basically choking off the oxygen. Read the stories. I guess my first question, any effective suggestions or more effective suggestions for solutions to this problem?
Well, the ultimate solution is to keep the manure out of these waters, and they believe that the best method for doing that is to avoid any kind of manure or fertilizer application, you know, 48 hours or so ahead of what is expected to be a significant rain event. And, you know, a light shower isn't going to produce the heavy runoff where these things occur, but if you get a dense thunderstorm that, you know, hits you hard and you get an inch or two of rain in a few hours, that's going to wash away whatever's on top of the surface. And that's what has happened here. It's happened a number of other times. We've seen this, you know, this effect. And you know, I think it just everybody's got to be smarter about what we do. We've got to pay more attention to the weather. And anytime there's even a threat that we're going to have an intense thunderstorm and a lot of rain, you know, a major rain event, it's just not something that, you know, we don't want to be spreading manure or fertilizer, because everything runs and ends up in the little creeks and feeder streams, and those all eventually end up in the rivers, and that eventually ends up in the lake. So you take these little feeder streams and multiply by 5 or 10,000 that there are feeding into Lake Erie from both the U.S. and Canadian side, and that's what you end up with, the stuff that charges and feeds that algal bloom. And I think, you know, from your travels, Mike, there's a whole lot of agriculture on that Canadian side too, so it needs to be a joint effort. Everybody, you know, looking out for the best practices that will keep, you know, fertilizer, manure, and these, you know, different elements that are going to feed the algae, keep them out of the water. And the best way to do that is to, you know, watch these major rain events and not have the runoff.
No, I was across the Ambassador Bridge today down by Leamington. You are exactly right. It is going to take a joint venture here. Hey, your other story here, of course, was on the front page of the Toledo Blade. Matt Markey joins us, Toledo Blade outdoor editor. This was on Sunday. We're going to be reading about it. We're going to be reading about different approaches, how to handle it. I think it's too bad we are reading about it. In the same breath, we're addressing it, we hope, anyways. But grass carp biologist engaged in concentrated study last week for the best methods, as it says on the capturing of the invasive Asian grass carp. Boy, I hate reading this story, but at least people are addressing it, and hopefully effectively.
Yeah, it's good to know that the best minds are out there collaboratively and so on. And it is unfortunate that we're dealing with it, but you know, I was really pleased by what I witnessed out there. The amount of cooperation between the different agencies. You've got a number of state, federal, provincial agencies. You've got two different countries. We had four or five different states involved. And nobody's out there trying to show somebody else up. Nobody's out there, you know, trying to find something and keep it a secret. The sharing of information, the sharing of knowledge, the kind of the groupthink way of going about this, I think is absolutely the best practices and the best approach, and that's what we're seeing up there. So that part, you know, was very encouraging. I think, you know, information is our best weapon at this point. We need to understand the enemy before we can figure out ways to control, you know, and try to conquer these things, you know. And once they get in, I mean, they're in the system now, and it's beyond a needle in a haystack at this point, but the more you know about them and their habits and, you know, where they want to go and the kind of water they prefer for feeding and the type of area they prefer for spawning, you know, the better equipped we're going to be to try to battle them over the long haul. So this was, you know, unfortunate, like you said, that we're at this point. But the flip side is we've got all these smart people who understand these things that are putting all their energy and combining their resources. And I saw this wonderful cooperation out there. It's just, I just wish that all branches of government could work this way. You know, the biologists could kind of show everybody else how it's done.
No, I couldn't agree more. And it's, listen, I know it's something that every time we talk that you are educating yourself in speaking to the folks that hopefully eventually we're going to pick up the paper someday and there's, you know, I don't want to say a miracle, but a solution that everybody can agree upon after the knowledge is totally gathered in and exactly what we're going to do about this, because it's a scary situation. Up against a hard break with a live guest coming up about a couple of events coming up here in Monroe. Matt, as always, thanks for taking the time. And what are you working on this week?
Well, I just got off the phone a little while ago with Bob Barnhart from Netcraft, talking to him about just the involvement of fishermen, bass fishermen specifically. If you look at the video and the pictures from Houston after the hurricane, I saw bass boats pulling up to houses, fishermen getting out and carrying people, elderly people or people that had some type of physical limitation, carrying them out, putting them in a $60,000 bass boat and taking them somewhere where they'd be safe. And I just want to salute those fishermen and sportsmen that took part in that. It's all volunteer, their gas, their time, their boat, and they're just helping folks out. I think we put way too much attention on the people that want to protest and scream and throw rocks at the police. We need to pay more attention to these just darn good people doing good things.
You are preaching to the choir, and I think you know that as well, and a lot of good around a very heartbreaking tragedy. We saw a lot of, again, heartbreaking photographs and pictures come out of Houston, but a lot of good things as well. In fact, the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik, was down there at the Michigan-Florida game in Dallas and told me countless of stories of all the good things that are being done down there as well. Talk to you next week. Thanks, Matt.
All right. Thank you, Mike.
Matt Markey, Toledo Blade Outdoor Editor, back with Tony Cooper, Executive Director of the River Raisin National Battlefield Park Foundation, after this.
Best in local sports talk, it's Drive Time on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore. Visit us at MonroeDodge.com. Labor Day sales event, the clearance sale continues up here. We've had a full roster tonight. And we have worked in our fourth guest of the evening. We started out with the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik, talking a little college football, Michigan, and that fast-closing, speedy defense that we saw against Florida. Dan Hasty joined us from Dayton, Ohio, the press box, where the West Michigan Whitecaps tonight take on the Dayton Dragons. There is a Detroit team in the postseason when it comes to baseball. Matt Markey always joins us on Wednesday night. Talked a lot of things with Matt like we normally do. And she was going to join us last night, but she got held up by a train, something I'm very familiar with. And I'm not going to say, well, I guess I will say it publicly. I hate to say how many times I've raced up Telegraph to beat the train so I can take a right-hand turn to get to the superstore. Tony Cooper got caught by the train last night, executive director of the River Raisin National Battlefield Park Foundation. Big event coming up, by the way, September the 16th, a family day at the Rally on the River Raisin. The Low Payment King is involved, giving away a Jeep. Tony, good to see you tonight.
We saw you last night,
but yeah. Nice to have you on. Congratulations on putting together a great event. I still know you're in the process of not only selling tickets, but promoting the event as well.
Correct, yeah. It's going to be an amazing event. We expect a lot of people. And the raffle or the fundraiser that we have is you can go to our website and purchase tickets for that Jeep that's out there. It has rock sliders on it. It's a 2017 Jeep Wrangler, and you win it free and clear for $50.
No, good stuff. Website again?
Battlefieldfoundation.org.
Tell me a little bit about the foundation and the organization and your role and your day-to-day duties to put something together like this.
My day-to-day duties? It depends on the moment. Sorry. No, I've only been in the role since October, but the position is multifaceted. The foundation, most people don't know that we have a national park here in Monroe. It's also in Detroit and in Maumee, Ohio. It spans three counties. My job is to create awareness for it, to build and develop it. So have you been to Gettysburg?
No, but it is on my bucket list.
Okay, so yep. People have been to Gettysburg. We're going to have what they have in Gettysburg, essentially. We're going to tell the untold story of the War of 1812 and bring it to life. The foundation does that. But the other thing we do is we also provide all the funding for our youth kayak program. 1,500 youth kayaked this summer. and we provide all the education, all the funding to get them there. And then we had 10,000 kids come through our field trip, and we cover all the costs for the field trips to come for the day.
Well, congratulations. It's kind of ironic that you mentioned the kayaking, because Matt Markey, our guest that joined us every Wednesday, is Toledo Blades outdoor editor. And I got to say, Tony, it was about a month ago. Again, Tony Cooper joins us here on Drive Time. He was talking about the immense growth in kayaking right now that your Cabela's, your Bass Pros, your other sporting goods suppliers cannot keep equipment and kayaks in stock because of the growth of the sport.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. We had we bring in youth from Detroit, urban youth from Detroit, to come Monday through Friday, and that was 1,500 kids. And then we have free public kayaking on Saturdays and Sundays, and we do 80 a day, and we sold out the whole entire summer.
How can we help? I know the Low Payment King, obviously very involved in a lot of different aspects. And anything that you want to get out there to our listeners?
I'd like to get out two things.
Got it.
So number one is I'd love everybody to come to the September 16th event. You're going to learn a lot about our battlefield. There's going to be Here Come the Mummies. It's going to end the event, and a Jeep parade starts the event. It's the what most people don't realize is it is the site where more POWs were removed from American soil by a foreign power ever in history. And so this is POW MIA Remembrance. So we have the VFW involved, and we're going to honor our veterans. 1,096 POWs were taken during the War of 1812 from our site. So there will be 1,096 flags on display to recognize that. So people will get a little bit of history, have some fun, see some Jeeps, and attend a blast of a concert with fireworks.
Tony, we're here all next week as well if you want to stop in again.
Thank you.
Always available. Thanks for coming over.
Yep.
We missed you last night. Glad we got you on tonight. And again,
thank you, Mike.
Walk in the door anytime, and we'd love to keep this effort rolling in the right direction.
One day I'm going to tell you how sports and us go together in the future.
Let's do it.
All right,
very
thank
good.
You.
All right, that, everybody, was Tony Cooper, Executive Director, River Raisin National Battlefield Park Foundation. The event's coming up Saturday, September the 16th. Good job, Kush, back at the station. Nice work, by the way. We'll do it again tomorrow right here from the Superstore, everybody. Thanks to all of our guests, Vito's Pizza, and the Low Payment King. Good night. Talk to you tomorrow.